Hare Krishna.
Firstly, thank you to all the devotees for coming to Vaikuntha Ashram. I'll just make a couple of quick announcements. If I could humbly request everyone to sort of, move further in as much as I can, because we'll get more devotees coming for space constraints. Second thing is just a humble request. Please turn off your mobile phones, if you can, just for the benefit of all the devotees. Lastly, also, we're going to have a program for children downstairs. So if I could, children who want to sit and listen to the discourse, that's very nice. We'd encourage that. But if you've got smaller children who feel that they may need to be engaged in any other way, if I could humbly request them to go downstairs in the room at the back, we've got suitable activities arranged for them. So just by way of summary, Maharaji will speak for the next hour or so. We'll have some question and answers. Then we'll have prasadam downstairs. Hare Krishna.
Switch off your mic.
Kadi, thank you.
Krishna.
Can I come here?
Can I come here?
No, that's just swap.
There is space here.
Where is the speaker?
Downstairs.
It sounds like some Akashvani song.
Jaya Gopi Chanda Balda Ba Girma.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yoga Paribhavita Vitsa Roja
A
Āse-supekṣita-pato-nanu-nāta-pum-sāṁ
Yad-yad-dhiyāta-urugāya-vibhāvayanti
Yad-yad-dhiyāta-urugāya-vibhāvayanti
Tat-tat-vapu-pranayase-sadanukrahāya
Tat-tat-vapu-pranayase-sadanukrahāya
Vam
bhakti yoga paribhavita hit saroja
Ase shrutekshita pato nanu nata pumsam
Ase shrutekshita pato nanu nata pumsam
Yad yad dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti
Yad yad dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti
Tat tat vapu pranayase sadanukrahaya
Tat tat vapu pranayase sadanukrahaya
Vam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Vam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Ase shrutekshita pato nanunata pumsa
Ase shrutekshita pato nanunata pumsa
Yadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti
Yadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti
Tadvapu pranayase saranugrahaya
Tadvapu pranayase saranugrahaya
Vam
bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja Ase shute shita pato nanu nata pumsam
Yad yad
dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti Tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya Vam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Ase
shrutekshita pato nanu nata pumsam Yad yad dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti Tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya
Vam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Vam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Ase sutekshita pato nanu nata pumsa
Ase sutekshita pato nanu nata pumsa
Yad yad dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti
Yad yad dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti
Tat tat vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya
Tat tat vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya Vam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja
Ase
shrutekshita pato nanu nata pumsa
Yad yad
dhiyata urugaya vibhavayanti Tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the years by the process of bona fide healing and thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswati Vyasam.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
Nashtaprayeshva Bhatreshu.
Nashtaprayeshva Bhatreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke.
Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishriki.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishriki.
స్వయం రూప కదామయం దాతి సదాకం వందేహం శ్రీగురుం శ్రీయుతరకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగజాతం సాగరాధునాన్వితం సజీవం సాధైతం సావధూతం హరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదాం సాగరాధునా శ్రీశాఖాన్వితం హే కృష్ణపాదాయ కృష్ణ కృష్ణాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణి విచారణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశాయనే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ కృపా సింధుమేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే హరే
కృష్ణ
హరే
కృష్ణ. The most important is what everybody sees. The most important words in this verse, which are they? Once it's up on the board, then you can on the screen, and you can tell me. Those of you who have your smartphones, use it for the only smart thing that you should use it for, for hearing about Krishna. Otherwise, there's nothing smart about guns, except that you can use it to see something about Krishna. The words in the second line, Shudekshita Pathaha, or Patha, that these two are the most important words in this verse. And indeed, they give us an answer to the topic of today. How can one see Krishna? We are all very proud of our eyes, even if we have spectacles like I do. And we think no end about how it is so important to see something to believe it. And everybody in the world therefore wants to see. Seeing is believing. So we place inordinate emphasis on the eyes, forgetting that there are even great devotees of Krishna who were blind. For example, Suradas, who was blind, is a famous devotee who lived in Barsana, who painted a most extraordinarily beautiful painting of Krishna and Radharani dancing with the peacocks. He was blind. Bilva Mangal Thakur became blind later on. So, there are devotees who have climbed to the highest peaks of devotion even though they were devoid of the sense of physical sight. So sight, as important as it may be to our material bodies, because you know we use it every day for so many purposes, and we also use it for Krishna conscious purposes. We see the deity of the Lord, we read the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's very useful, undoubtedly. Nevertheless, in relative terms for spiritual advancement, it is the ears that are more important to us. When we hear from the messages of the scriptures, from the Bhagavad Gita, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we actually begin to understand spiritual knowledge. We begin to see Krishna in a different way from what we anticipated when we came to the process. Because we think seeing Krishna means only seeing Krishna with the eyes. That will come, but at the proper time. So we're given a different paradigm, we're given a different concept of seeing Krishna. Of seeing Krishna through the ears. A very fascinating idea. But not so strange, because we use this idea even in the material world. Unless we have gained knowledge by proper hearing, we do not have the proper vision to see something. I often give some simple examples, like that of a doctor seeing your X-ray reports or your blood test reports. Now, when we look at the X-ray, we don't make any sense of it. And it just looks like some blobs of dark and light matches. But a good doctor looks at the X-ray film and immediately understands what the problem is and where it is. So has he got some fantastic vision? What is he seeing that you can't see and I can't see? Similarly, if you have an appliance, an electronic appliance, and there's something that goes wrong with it, maybe a computer or even your motor car, and you don't know what's wrong, you don't know how to repair it, you call an expert, he comes along, and in a few minutes, he can understand what's wrong with it, and he sets it right. So you and the expert are seeing the same thing, seeing the same appliance. But what is it that the expert is seeing that we are not seeing? So there is something there in that vision. Just by looking, that expert is able to understand something which I can't or you can't understand. That is because that expert has become an expert and developed that vision by virtue of hearing, by gaining knowledge. Because of gaining knowledge, now that person's vision has changed. Similarly, when we hear about the Supreme Lord, then our vision of life changes. Our approach of how we see Krishna changes. And this is a very, very important point. The word Shruta Ikshita Patha, you can divide this into three words. Shruta, Ikshita, and Patha. Shruta means that which is heard or to hear, to be revealed. Ikshita means to see. Pathaha means the road, the path. So Krishna is also called Shrutekshita. He who is seen by hearing. Very interesting, isn't it? So you remember this name of Krishna now? Shrutekshita. He who is seen by hearing. He who is seen through the ears. So seen through the ears is more important than seen through the eyes. When we have perfected seeing through the ears, then the seeing through the eyes will automatically happen, and it will be spontaneous and natural. For example, when a non-devotee comes in front of the deity, he sees only a statue. Because the non-devotee has not heard about Krishna, has not understood the philosophical knowledge. by which we understand that the deity is completely non-different from Krishna. Pratibhanahitumi Sakshat Rajendra Nandana. As we hear in the story of Sakshi Gopal, the young Brahmana tells the deity of Gopal that you are not just a statue, my dear Lord. You are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Nanda Maharaj. So when the non-devotee sees the deity, he is seeing the deity that you and I as devotees see. But he reaches a different conclusion. In other words, he sees differently. He sees it simply as a statue of stone. But we don't see it like that. We see him as directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why so? Because we have heard. We have heard about Krishna, we have heard about the deity, and we have heard about the identity of the deity and Krishna. So hearing, therefore, is very, very important for us. We should not be in a haste to see, but we should be very eager to hear and to serve. So this is the whole philosophy. So patha means the path. So shrutekshita patha means he who is understood or seen by the process of a moving on the path of hearing revealed knowledge from the scriptures, like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So no amount of emphasis on the process of hearing about Krishna is sufficient. We must emphasize this every single day in our life, because this is the way we can perfect our life. By faithfully and attentively hearing about Krishna from bona fide sources coming in the disciplic succession, we can ensure that we will be seeing Krishna in sound vibration. And eventually we will be seeing Krishna with our eyes. But before we go on, a disclaimer, a warning. The warning is, before you embark even more seriously on this path, the path of Shrutekshita, here is a word of caution given by none other than the gopis of Vrindavan. Do you believe in the gopis of Vrindavan?
Yes.
So you want to heed their warning and know what it is?
Yes.
Okay, here goes. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vanshinyastadhara kishalayam ujjalam chandrakena Govindakhyam haritanam mitah keshitirthopakandhe ma prekshishthastavayarisakhe bandhu sange sirangah. So the gopis are telling each other, O Sakhi, O my dear friend, ma prekshishthah, don't see whom? Govindakhyam haritanumita keshitirthopakante. Don't go and see that Govinda who is standing on the banks of the Yamuna near Keshi Ghat at Vamshi Vata. Don't you go and see him there. Ma prekshishtha means don't see. They are cautioning the other gopis. I'm warning you. Don't go to see Krishna who is standing on the banks of the Yamuna. If bandhu sange astirangaha, if you are attached to your family, your friends, if you are attached to your wealth, your property, you are attached to anything of this world, beware. Don't go to see that Krishna, that Govinda who is standing on the banks of the Yamuna. And what is he doing as he is standing there? Smeram, he's smiling. Bhangi traya parichitam, he's standing in the threefold bending form. He's bent at the neck, at the waist, and at the knees. Sachi Achi Vistirna Drishtim. And he has a glance. What kind of a glance? Vistirna, sidelong glance, which is he is giving a broad sideward glance. And what has he done? Vanshi Nyasta Abhara. He has placed his vanshi or his flute upon his abhara, upon his lips. Kishalayam, and his lips are like newly blossomed twigs. Uchalam Chandrakena, and his face is resplendent, shining in the light of the full moon. So this Govinda, my dear friends, the gopis are saying, is very dangerous. Don't go to see him, especially when he's playing the flute in the banks of the Yamuna, because you will lose all your material attachments. So if at all you have any material attachments and you value them, don't go there to the banks of Yamuna. So there is still time. Those of you who want to walk away from the class, those of you who want to stop being devotees of Krishna, there's still time, but I suspect it's too late. You can't change it now. Krishna has trapped you and you can't escape. Where will you go running away from Krishna? People have tried and failed. Many devotees have tried to leave Krishna consciousness, being obstinate, I will leave. But Krishna has brought them back, somehow or the other. But nevertheless, we should know this warning. So, actually speaking, is it a word of criticism? Because it appears like that. Superficially, when you hear this verse, it seems that the gopis are criticizing Krishna. But is it a criticism? It is actually praise disguised as criticism. It is a literary ornament used in Sanskrit literature as a literary device many times. And it's called Vyaj Stuti. It's an indirect eulogy where you are actually praising something that you seem to be criticizing. So what they are doing, the gopis, they are actually encouraging the other gopis by saying you must go there. Even though they are apparently saying don't go there, I warn you, but actually in effect what they are saying is you must go there. You'll be very foolish if you don't go there. So it's actually an injunction. Go there and see Krishna. Because once you have seen Krishna there, playing the flute, standing in his threefold bending form, casting sidelong broad glances with his face shining in the full moon night, then you will forget everything of this world. So this is actually an instruction to all of us, that we should try to see Krishna like that. And if we are successful in seeing Krishna like that, then there is goodbye to everything and everyone around you. In that materialistic sense, of course, as devotees, you will still continue to live together and help each other to relish Krishna consciousness. So this is the beautiful part of how Krishna consciousness is presented. Now, despite all this that we have heard, of how easy it is for us to see Krishna just by hearing, there are people who are not convinced. They still want to see with their eyes. Can you show me God? Can I see God? So Srila Prabhupada in one lecture, he says, yes, of course we can show you God. There are many ways in which you can see God. Now we will see the different levels of how to come to see, of how to see God. So Srila Prabhupada starts with the first level. So he says, he quotes the verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Raso amopsu kaunteya prabhasni shashi surya loho pranava sarva vedeshu shabda ke orusham ishu. In which Krishna says, raso ham apsu kaunteya, o kaunteya, o Arjuna, I am the taste in water. Srila Prabhupada says that the pure taste of water is something that cannot be replicated artificially or chemically, industrially. Pure water has some unique taste. Of course, pure water from different places has different tastes. Pure water from a stream, pure water from the Himalayas, pure water from some other mountain, but it's still pure. So that purity of the taste of water is me, Krishna says. And of course we drink water every day. So when we drink water, we should remember Krishna. We are seeing Krishna through that experience, through the sense of taste. So it's not that Krishna is seen only through the sense of sight. Krishna has to be perceived through all our senses. He is, after all, Rishikesh. Rishika means the senses. Isha means the master. He is the master of the senses, and the senses have to be engaged in his service. So we must try to perceive Krishna, to see Krishna through all the senses. Through the sense of taste, we can perceive Krishna in water. What to speak of Krishna prasadam? Regular Krishna prasadam that we eat, but even ordinary water. Similarly, the light of the sun and the moon, we don't do without it. We see it every single day. So when we see that, the sense of sight, we can remember Krishna. Similarly, Krishna speaks about, he gives many other examples, about sound. We hear sound every day. The sound is also a representation of Krishna, one of the original elements of the creation. Similarly, fragrance. No one can replicate natural fragrance, although people try to do it chemically. You have all these perfumes and scents and so on. But there's nothing to beat natural perfumes. You know, there is a place in India called Kannauj. It's still there. It's a very ancient place that is found, that's described in the Bhagavatam and the scriptures and so on. Ajami came from there, by the way. That place is today famous for its natural perfumes. And you know, a few milliliters of that can cost a huge amount because it's so pure. And that fragrance is out of this world. So no one can replicate the original purity of natural fragrance. And that is Krishna. There are different types of natural fragrances. And in each of them we can smell and perceive Krishna. In this way, Srila Prabhupada says, we can understand Krishna variously. We can see Krishna everywhere. When Srila Prabhupada was one time speaking about seeing Krishna everywhere, one devotee asked him a question. What does it mean when a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere? Is it, Srila Prabhupada, that the pure devotee sees Krishna's forms in every atom and every inch, square cubic inch of space around? Is it that he sees Krishna, 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 everywhere? He sees the different forms of Krishna everywhere? Is it like that? Actually, it's a natural question, isn't it? When you say that a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere, what do you mean by that? But Srila Prabhupada smiled and he answered. He says, actually it is true that the Supreme Lord, the pure devotees can see the Supreme Lord everywhere, but actually he understands and he sees Krishna everywhere through his energies. Because he understands everything is Krishna's energy, in that energy he perceives Krishna's presence and sees him like that. He gave an example. He said, suppose you see your child's shoes. What do you think of? Immediately you think of your child. And you think of your child's face, you think of his talk and so on. Or you hear the voice of your child. And immediately you think of your child. You see his face and so on. So similarly, we understand everything is Krishna's energy. So by seeing the connection with Krishna's energy, of Krishna with his energy, we actually perceive Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very beautiful verse which says, Sarva Bhuteshu Vyapashyati Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha Bhutani Bhagavat Atmani Esho Bhagavatottamaha. In this verse, there is a description of the Uttama Bhagavat, the topmost devotee of the Lord. What is the vision of the topmost devotee of the Lord? Sarva Bhuteshu Vyapashyati Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha. In other words, he sees Krishna in everything. He sees Krishna everywhere. And as a result of that, he also sees everything within Krishna. Now, this is also mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Yo mam pashyati sarvatra, sarvam cha mam pashyati, tasya aham na pranishyami, sachamena pranishyati. Krishna says, Yo mam pashyati sarvatra, one who sees me everywhere, and he sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, and he is never lost to me. So now, how do we understand the seeing Krishna everywhere? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in a very nice comment, says that the word pashyet in that verse, which means must see, that the pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere, doesn't necessarily mean that he is visualizing the form of Krishna every moment in every inch of space. What it does mean is that he is so supremely qualified in the art and science of devotional service. He is so eligible and capable that he's eligible to see the Supreme Lord. So the vision or the fact that the pure devotee can see everywhere means that the pure devotee is eligible to see Krishna. And he also goes on further to say that by the overwhelming desire to see Krishna, when the desire to see Krishna is so strong, it is so overpowering, that overwhelming desire to see Krishna is the eligibility to see Krishna, and that constitutes seeing Krishna. Just like when you are constantly thinking of Krishna, you are obsessed with the thought of seeing Krishna, then actually you become so Krishna conscious, you perceive Krishna in everything and everyone. So that is the idea of seeing Krishna. And then physically also Krishna may actually reveal himself directly. Some people are still not convinced with this way of seeing Krishna. They still want to see Krishna with their eyes in the same form as Krishna manifested himself in Vrindavan. They say, I want to see with my eyes. But we just used the word earlier, qualification, eligibility. Srila Prabhupada says many times, what is the power of your eyes to see? What is your eligibility to see God directly, face to face? You know, even in ordinary material life, even if you want to see a microbe, you need a microscope. Or to see a distant star or some celestial phenomenon, you need a telescope, and even then you can't see perfectly.
So why
should there be no eligibility required for seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face? Definitely we would need some eligibility or qualification. And that qualification is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in one lecture that he gave in Mexico, in New Mexico. Oh no, sorry, Mexico City, the university. You know, at that time, just like in America, the situation in Mexico was also very turbulent. The young people were protesting against the establishment, and there were a lot of riots, and the government had sent out police and the army to somehow suppress the uprising of the students. So this was an age of rebellion. And many of the youth had become communists and leftists and atheists and skeptics and so on. And there were also some people who were seekers. So at this university, when Srila Prabhupada was speaking, after the lecture was over and questions were invited from the audience, one student asked Prabhupada directly, "Do you see God?" And this was a question that took everybody aback, because in a sense, it was a kind of an irreverential question, not a very respectful question. Can you see God? You're speaking about God. Can you see God? Kind of little not so respectful. But at the same time, a very valid question, an important question. Now, there are many philosophers in humanity. We have, Lenin and Marx and Socrates and Plato, but perhaps nobody asked them such a pointed question. Have you seen God? Of course, many of these were atheists, like Marx and Lenin. They would say there is no God. In any case, Prabhupada was directly asked this question. Prabhupada paused. There was a pregnant silence. And everybody in the room was eagerly expecting that answer. Has Prabhupada seen God or has he not seen God? What is he going to answer? Suspense for a few moments. Then Prabhupada softly said, "Yes. If I say yes, will you believe me?" So the student said, "Yes." Then Prabhupada said, "Yes, I see God. I have seen God." He paused for a while, let it sink in, and then he said, "But you can also see God." And then he quoted this verse from the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana Chuita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadaiva Hidayeshu Vilokayanti Yashama Sundarama Chintya Gunasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Aham Bhajami. So he quoted this verse and said, "But you need to be qualified." And what is the qualification? You must have love. If you have love for Krishna, then you will be able to see him. If there is no love, you will not be able to see him. At another place, Srila Prabhupada explained, because we don't see God, doesn't mean God doesn't exist. A person with cataract in the eyes also cannot see things around him clearly. But it doesn't mean that those things don't exist. All that's needed for that person to be able to actually see everything around him is to have the cataract removed. Similarly, we also have this cataract of material consciousness that has to be removed. And that is removed by the surgical instrument called the shalaka, the divine shalaka, that is wielded by the spiritual master and the Guru Parampara. They operate on our spiritual eyes, on our material eyes, and they give us spiritual vision. This spiritual surgery is Krishna consciousness. When we take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness, then gradually the senses start becoming purified. We start developing Divya Chakshu, divine vision. But that divine vision is also called Shastra Chakshu, the eyes of the scripture, which means we hear the scripture. By hearing from the scripture, we develop that divine vision by which we can see Krishna face to face, especially when we are qualified with that love. Therefore, as Prabhupada quotes many times, the famous verse, Atah Shri Krishna Namavi Na Bhavet Rahlam Indriyai Seva Mukhe Jivvado Svayam Eva Svarap Yadaha. When one renders service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that service begins by chanting, hearing, and so on. Then, gradually, the senses start becoming purified. The material senses are very gross, and with gross senses, one cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything connected to Him. We cannot understand His form, His names, His abode, His devotees, His deity, His fame, qualities, pastimes, etc. But when we start engaging our senses in His service, especially by the process of Shruta, the Shrutekshita Patha, then gradually as the contamination of the senses disappears, the spiritual senses start awakening, the material senses start getting purified, and progressively and proportionately to the degree that we have purified ourselves by the process of devotional service, we will begin to actually experience and perceive Krishna through all our senses. And when the time is right, we will also see Krishna through our eyes. In the meanwhile, very kindly, the Lord has given us Himself in the form of a deity. So when we see the deity of the Lord with faith, then we can also gradually realize the non-difference between the deity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the process of hearing is fundamental. Srila Prabhupada in another lecture says, all you have to do to see Krishna is to hear the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And to hear the messages and pastimes and instructions of the Supreme Lord. And very quickly, we will be able to see. Recently, I was in Melbourne and I narrated a particular story. So I thought, since it's appropriate in this connection, I will repeat that story. Many of you, of course, will not remember, so you will hear that story. So it's a nice story that indicates to us the power of hearing. That hearing should be done with faith, and it should be done attentively and regularly. Once upon a time, there was a thief, and he had gone into bad days. Bad days meaning that he had not been able to steal anywhere. So he was really anxious, and he was looking out for potential victims. And as he was wandering here and there, looking out for victims, he came to some marquee, we call it marquee there, in India we call it pandal. So where there was a Bhagavat Katha going on. Some Brahman had been called by some rich man, and he had organized this. He was a pious rich man, so this Brahmana came and he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was speaking about Krishna. So this man, anyway, he was without work and he had not been able to find anybody to steal from. So he said, maybe here these are rich people, maybe I'll find somebody. Let me go and sit here. So he went and sat inside. And it so happened that that Brahmana who was speaking, he was actually not a devotee of the Lord. He was more like a ritualistic Brahmana, and his speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam was more like a routine ritualistic exercise. And he was doing it more with the idea that he would get some good dakshina, and the motivation was that he would get his livelihood would be maintained. But in any case, he was speaking about Krishna. And the passages that he was speaking were descriptions of Krishna's form and his beauty and his clothing and his paraphernalia, his flute, his peacock feather, the ornaments he was wearing, everything. And he was going into great detail describing all of this. Now, the thief was quite bored in the beginning. But the moment this year is easy. Vaidurya, money, okay, nice, fine. And he started describing some other pearls and some diamonds and rubies and stones, and precious stones and everything. Now he was all ears, deep. He was paying full attention. And he was hearing very, very attentively, carefully. And the Brahmana was going on describing the beautiful form of Krishna and where he was staying and so on. So the description went on for a while. And someone can take care of children. Okay. So he was eager to get hold of those jewels. And therefore he did not want to lose this opportunity. He wanted to make sure he got the data right. You know, the information. You know, who is the person, what does he look like, what is he wearing, what kind of, you know, rubies and diamonds and other things are there, and where does he stay, and so on. So he had to get his GPS and everything right. So he was really attentive. And he was being, the others in the audience were, someone was yawning and some, you know, as usually happens, someone was falling asleep, and those things that didn't have phones or others, I'm sure somebody would have been texting and stuff like that. So the usual situation that happens, but not this thief. He was attentive, hearing so carefully. And then his mind was full of Krishna. Actually, Krishna's ornaments and diamonds and everything. But there was Krishna. So once the katha was over, then at night, he broke into the Brahmana's home. In those days, the Brahmana is a very simple home, so it didn't take much expertise to break into the Brahmana's home. There was nothing in those homes anyway. So the Brahmana, he woke up by hearing the noise, and all of a sudden he finds this thief standing above him as he was sleeping. And he was frightened. He said, "Who are you? What do you want?" He said, "Today you were speaking about those cost of money and various other forms of jewels and ornaments." So he said, I don't have them. I don't have any money. I just have a little bit of dakshina from that wealthy man for today. He said, no, I don't want your dakshina. Because the thief has set his sights high. He wasn't going to be satisfied just with a little money and dakshina, a few rupees. That's all he didn't want. He wanted the real things. And he had been daydreaming about this. If I get hold of this Krishna and I get all these jewels from him, then I don't have to work the rest of my life. I can retire early and just live the good life. Because I have so much wealth with me. So he said, "I want those diamonds and jewels that you were talking about." Which ones? So the one Krishna had. You want Krishna's diamonds? Oh, the Brahman, of course, didn't have faith in all these things. So he just sat and said, "Oh, what can I do with this man? He wants Krishna's diamonds. He wants to go to Vrindavan." He said, "You tell me how to go to Vrindavan. Where is this place, Vrindavan?" "Are you serious?" He said, "Yes, of course I'm serious." Then the Brahman was still thinking, "Is this man crazy? Is he what? And how do I deal with him?" So anyway, so he said, "You know, this is how you have to go. You follow this road, and you go to this place, and then that place, and then finally you will reach Vrindavan." So he was hearing from an authoritative source how to reach Vrindavan. And then he said, "All right, and I will go to, will I get Krishna?" And the Brahmana just wanted to get the thief off his back. He said, "Yes, of course you will get Krishna." But the Brahmana didn't expect that he will get Krishna when he goes to Vrindavan. So the thief immediately left the home and started moving hastily towards Vrindavan. And he followed the directions the Brahmana gave. The Brahmana had told him when and how to see Krishna. He said, "Krishna returns home after grazing the cows in the evening. So you have to be there and climb up on a tree and sit there and patiently wait for him to come back with the cows. And when he comes, close by, then you jump and then you get the diamonds that you're seeking." So the Brahmana was planning to do exactly that. he went and perched himself up on a tree, and he was looking in the distance to see when Krishna would come with the cows. And lo and behold, as the sun was drawing closer to the horizon, he could see these thousands of cows coming back. The dust of the hooves of those cows was raised. That's the time called Godhuli. Dhuli means the dust. The dust raised by the hooves of the cows is supposed to be a very auspicious time for spiritual activities. And even the dust raised by the hooves of the cows is very auspicious, very nice. Even Mother Yashoda, she smeared the dust on the body of Krishna after Putana came and attempted to kill him. So for his protection, she did that. And then he was looking, and in his mind he was going through all that he had heard about Krishna's form. He wanted to make sure he got the right person. So the hair, the eyes, the teeth, the nose, the clothes, you know, everything he had it in mind. And he was able to easily identify Krishna when he came. There was Balaram, there was some cowherd boyfriends, and the cows were there. And when Krishna, of course, understood, so he told the others to go ahead. And he tarried on behind. And then the thief jumped down from the tree and he caught hold of Krishna and said, "Here, I want those ornaments. I want that Kaustubh jewel and that Vaidurya." And so Krishna pretended to be afraid and said, "Who are you? What do you want?" He said, "I want these ornaments. If you give me these, I'll let you go and I won't harm you." He said, "Oh, you're a thief." He said, "Yes, I'm a thief and I want these ornaments. And by the way, the Brahmana, he described the ornaments you will be wearing, but some ornaments are missing. Where are they?" Because he had heard so carefully, he had memorized everything. He said, "Where is this and where is that?" He said, then Krishna said, "You want my..." "No, no, no, what will happen if you just take away all these ornaments from me?" So he said, no, you must give it." Then Krishna said, "Oh, you're a thief." He said, "Yes, but I'm a bigger thief than you. And my name is Chitta Chor. Chitta means consciousness. Chor means the thief. So I steal everybody's heart. You're only stealing money and diamonds and jewels. But I steal everybody's heart. Therefore, I'm famous in the three worlds as Chitta Chor. And I am going to steal your heart as well." By this time, the thief's heart had been completely captured. And he said, no, actually, I don't want to steal anything from you." So he was completely in ecstasy, just seeing Krishna in front of him. And he was beside himself in joy. Now, Krishna started taking off his jewels and giving it to him. And he said, no, don't give it to me, Krishna. Your mother will be angry with you." He said, don't worry. Mother will not be angry. I'll manage that." So then, Krishna left. He didn't take the ornaments, the thief. But suddenly he found a bag on his shoulder which had all those ornaments. Then he was struck with wonder. Now that his mission had been accomplished, he went back to his village or his town. And he went straight to the house of the Brahmana. And as it happened, it was again night. And in the middle of the night, the Brahmana was woken up again by this thief. "Oh, no, my God, what do you want now? I sent you. What's the problem now?" The Brahmana was really afraid. He said, "I've got the ornaments." "He said, what ornaments?" "Well, I've got Krishna's jewels." So the Brahmana again, you know, he's woken up in the middle of the night, somebody tells you these things. What do you think? He said, "What jewel, what diamonds are you talking about, Vrindavan?" He didn't believe him. He said, "How can Krishna? It doesn't exist. It's just in the books. There's no Krishna, what Vrindavan, what, you know, it's just there in the books to be, you know, narrated. It's not for real. How could you have got these diamonds?" But this time the thief was not aggressive. He was very humble. And he was crying tears of ecstasy. And the Brahmana was thinking, there's something that's quite wrong here. And he said, "You mean you actually got these diamonds from Krishna?" He said, "Yes." then Krishna personally appeared to you and you jumped out from a tree and so on? He said, yes. He said, no, it can't be like that. This is all, you know, mythology. It's not supposed to be true. He said, no, you come with me, I'll show you. So Brahman said, all right. So he set out along the thief and all the way back to Vrindavan. It's a long journey. And all along, this thief, who is no longer a thief, who had been smitten by the ultimate thief. Now he was narrating the wonderful experience he had with this Brahmana, and the Brahmana was now actually beginning to believe or suspect that what he's saying may be true. And then they came to Vrindavan, and they both climbed up on the tree, and they waited for the evening to come, and the evening came. And then the thief said, or the former thief, he said, there he is, there is Krishna. I said, where? There he is, can't you see? He's right in front, he's coming here. He said, I don't see anybody. And then the thief started talking to Krishna. And Krishna was talking to him, but he could not see him, the Brahmana. And when this was going on, the Brahmana said, my dear Krishna, my dear Lord, you know, I'm a Brahmin. And I've been reciting Srimad Bhagavatam all my life. And you give this thief darshan. And you give him so much mercy. But now you're not giving me your darshan. And even when I've come here all the way to Vrindavan, you have not revealed yourself to me. You're revealing yourself to that person. So Krishna said, yes, my dear Brahman. Because when you were reciting and reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and descriptions about me, you did not have faith. You were just reciting it as if it's some story. You didn't believe that I actually exist and that I actually live in Vrindavan and perform all these pastimes. For you, it was just something casual. You were reciting it for your livelihood. Therefore, you are not eligible for my darshan, to see me. But this thief, this former thief, he heard with rapt attention. And he believed everything you said, even though you did not believe what you said. But he believed what you said. And therefore, I have given him darshan now. So if you want to see me, O Brahmana, then you will also have to hear as attentively as this thief did. You will have to hear with the same intensity and with the same faith, believing as completely true everything that you read in the scriptures about me. Then I will appear in front of you. So for us as practicing devotees, this is the key. If we regularly, attentively, faithfully attend classes on the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam every day, we read Srila Prabhupada's books carefully, we chant the holy names and hear the holy names in Japa and Gita regularly, and we perform all the other activities that the devotee needs to perform, but focusing on hearing and chanting, then automatically one day Krishna will reveal himself to us when the time comes. Internally, we may become very eager to see Krishna, but we should not be impatient. We've all heard that famous quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Do not be so eager to see Krishna. Be eager to serve him, so that Krishna will be eager to show himself to you. And Krishna will be eager to see you. So that is the spirit of the devotees. As devotees, we do not want to prematurely see Krishna's form, Krishna appearing in front of us. We want to be serving Krishna and hearing about Krishna with total eagerness. And we leave it to Krishna as to when he thinks the time is right for him to reveal himself to us, reveal his beautiful form to us. You see, after all, even great demons in history like Duryodhana, Shalva, Dantavakra, they also saw Krishna's beautiful form, but they didn't develop any love for Krishna. And even when it comes to the other incarnations of the Lord, so many demons saw those forms, but they didn't develop love for the Lord.
So merely saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
We self-assess our progress, whether it be education or work. In Krishna consciousness, how can we self-assess our progress when we hear different discourses, engage in kirtans and chanting? And instead of getting feedback from other devotees and how our behavior has changed, how can we self-assess our progress against prior years?
Okay, so the question is that how can we self-assess the progress we have made? Yes. One time Srila Prabhupada was asked the question, Prabhupada, when will I know if I'm self-realized? Prabhupada said, you will know. Nobody will need to tell you. And he gave the example of eating food. When you eat food, nobody needs to tell you that you're full. Sometimes you need to, but but generally, that's the
you know
that you're full.
Automatically.
There's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti parishan bho vyakti amyatta chaushati kadita kala bhaktyamanasya vithashtitasya pushti pushti kshutapayo mukhasam. The nine yogendras in the 11th canto explain the process of devotional service is like the process of eating. With every morsel of food that we eat, three things happen simultaneously. Tushti, pushti, and shut apaya. We feel satisfaction, tushti. We feel nourishment, pushti. And shut apaya, our hunger diminishes progressively. So, in the same way, prapatyamanasya, for one who has surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that person's devotional life, there are three things that happen simultaneously and progressively. One is bhakti. Bhakti means you start feeling more love for the Lord. The second is para-isha anubhavaha, para-isha anubhavaha, which means you start feeling spiritual satisfaction and experiencing the Lord in your life in different ways. And the third is anyatra virakti, detachment from those things not connected to Krishna. So when these three things happen, we can understand that we are making advance. So this is the way to self-assess these three criteria. What am I feeling? Is my attraction to Krishna increasing? Is my renunciation from the world, detachment from the world increasing? Am I feeling more satisfaction in chanting and hearing about Krishna and serving Him and associating with the devotees? In short, am I being more attached to Krishna and less attached to the world? That's the thermometer of the barometer by which we can self-assess. And that is visible to us. So they will also assess us from time to time, which is also good actually. And those who correct us are our best friends. Because generally, sometimes in the process of self-assessment, there is some subjectivity that comes in and bias, and then we tend to think that we are more advanced than we actually are. So it's always good to have a few people around you, you know, who keep us in our place. So that's always good. It helps us. So we should not rely only on self-assessment. So it's good to have people around you who may critique you sometimes. Right? Hare Krishna. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, based on the story that you have mentioned, what about our intentions? Because the way it looks like, the thief had intentions to steal and, you know, it's personal inside, like it's more egocentric. Whereas, but still Krishna revealed him. So based on the story, what our intention should be? Where should it be focused? It should be self-centered, or how is it different to, you know?
Okay, so the question is, that in the story of the thief, we see the thief's intentions were not good. Even though he was focusing on Krishna, hearing attentively and so on, but his intention was to steal. So what should be our intention? So how are we to understand that? Yes, we certainly shouldn't have an intention to steal or to do anything wrong. There is something called, in Sanskrit and study of logic, kaimukya nyaya. Nyaya means logic. Kaimukya means kim kuta. If this much for this, then how much for that? Yes? If by doing this imperfectly, you get this benefit, by doing it perfectly, how much more benefit? So a person who is hearing attentively, faithfully, but with the wrong motive gets this benefit. how much benefit can we get if we hear equally attentively and faithfully, but with the right intention? How much more will we get? Right? So that is the point. So the purpose of these stories is to illustrate how important it is to develop those positive qualities, and it highlights the purifying nature of Krishna consciousness, that even if we do come to Krishna consciousness with some wrong intention, we get purified of that wrong intention in course of time, if we are doing that Krishna consciousness sufficiently. Okay? Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is a very silly question, but I wanted to ask you. In the story, when he and the Brahmana went to see Krishna, and Brahmana asked the question to Krishna, saying, why not me? The answer was through Vajram, right?
Yes, the words, but he didn't see Krishna. When the Brahmana went, he was not able to see Krishna. He was only able to hear Krishna. Even that is a great fortune. And we also have that same fortune when we hear Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada says again and again that we have the same fortune that Arjuna did. Arjuna heard from the Lord directly on the battlefield. When we hear Bhagavad Gita, we are not any less fortunate because we are hearing exactly the same message as it is transmitted down in the disciplic succession. Therefore, there is no diminution or erosion in the value or the potency of that message because we are hearing it 5,000 years later. It is still equally applicable and strong. Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna, I have 3 lakhs of mind obeisances. I think the story here was the thief was the hero, but the actual story is about the Brahmana, which is all of us. That we do not look at Krishna the way we should really look at him. And that's what I get from the story, is that it's all about us, it's not about the thief. The thief is our teacher. He has taught us how to look at Krishna.
Okay, so the commentary is that the takeaway from the story is actually not the thief, but the Brahmana. Because through his example, he's teaching us how we should not hear or study Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, that is also definitely the story. Both sides. We learn how to do things, and we also learn how to not do things. We learn the positive as well as the negative. Both are important to learn. So from the thief we learn how important and useful it is to hear with attention and faith. And from the Brahmana we hear what the perils are, or what the futility is of not doing it with faith. But at the same time, because he was still engaged in that, just he got some fortune. He got to hear, that must have been a life transforming incident for him. Right? So the fact that he was absorbing his mind in hearing about and reciting Krishna's pastimes, so that itself somehow purified him. But it is not recommended that we should hear from those who don't have faith. That's another topic. Okay, so I think it's time for, yes, one last question.
Maharaj, your story was relating to today's pastime, today's Vaman Dvadasi, and same as Bali Maharaj and his guru, and same thing, his guru didn't have the faith, but Bali Maharaj had the faith in Lord Vaman then. So it's quite related to today's pastimes.
Okay, very nice. This one comment is that today is Vaman Dvadasi, and Lord Vamanadeva's guru, Shukracharya, did not have faith in Lord Vishnu, whereas the disciple had. And so similarly here, we see that thief had, but the Brahmana didn't have. Sometimes it pays to be not scholarly. Because when you get too scholarly, then you start doubting and you think you know better. But when you come with a clean slate before Krishna, then Krishna can write whatever he wants. and we accept it very easily. So yes, today is also the very important festival of Ramana Pradishi. And we see it from this message, from this pastime of how if we surrender everything to Krishna, then Ram Krishna will never let us down. Bali Maharaj surrendered everything and look what he got. He got the pure devotion. And the Lord became his doorkeeper in Sutala Loka. So thank you all very much for coming this morning for this program. And as usual, I want to thank Asim, Udhivya, Satya Singh, and family, and the wife of Satya Singh, Mataji, for having hosted us today, and for all the devotees who have done a lot of service to make this program possible. Many devotees, I believe, were stayed up all night to make all sorts of arrangements for this program. So thank you very much to all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
What's the program we'll see?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Shall we have a few minutes of kirtan?
I think that would be good, Maharaj, just for everyone's benefit. After kirtan, there'll be just a small cake cutting. We've got a couple of devotee children whose birthday we'll be celebrating. So down towards the right, and then there'll be prasadam served towards the back. Just a humble reminder, after this program, Maharaji will have 3 classes in the temple starting this evening, continuing tomorrow night and Tuesday from 7:30 till 9. Maharaj has chosen a very nice topic from Shraddha to Prema, and you're all humbly requested to please come to Shishirada Gopinath temple. We'll have Aarti obviously at 7 o'clock and then the class straight after that. And then Maharaj's last program for the Sydney Yatra is a retreat that Maharaj is having. Most of you have registered for it. There are just a couple of spots left for day trips only. So if you'd like to come, please let me know. Registrations will be closing end of the day today. So that's, if you have any other questions, please either see myself or Girish Prabhu or Ankit Prabhu, my wife, or any other details. And thank you so much for coming. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vedanami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Vibhisheshta Shunyavadi Paschatale Vishwarani
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Srila Dvaita Radha Vishwana Sarodhava Bhagavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Jai Hari Krishna.